Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
It is that time of a Thursday. John Giles is on the line. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
So another deeply disappointing and frustrating week for the Republic of Ireland. Just the 1 point from the games at home against Denmark and Wales. We'll get into the details of what went wrong, but overall, looking at the two matches, what were the basic fundamentals that went wrong for Ireland?
Well, there were quite a few, actually, Nathan. We didn't play at all well against Denmark. I think Denmark were lucky enough for us. We're satisfied with a point with a bit to go. We never got the ball. We never played on it. I thought we were lucky to get away with it on the night. It was a little bit better for against Wales. There was more life in it. I think Robinson made a difference coming on the pitch, bit of life up the pitch. Mayer was back in his proper position. So all those things helped on the second match. But overall, the two matches, you'd have to say, were very disappointing.
Yeah, hugely frustrating, I think, for anybody who was at Lansdowne Road for the two games. We might start then on the team selections over the two matches. And I guess the most interesting and controversial part of the team selection was the inclusion of Cyrus Christie in the middle of midfield, which Martin O'Neill said was a decision he had to make. He felt to maybe accommodate Matt Doherty as a wing back. But Cyrus Christie said he'd never played in that game as a senior footballer. He hadn't played there probably since he was 14 years of age. How risky a move was that by O'Neill?
Well, it was very risky. And it was a bit of a put-down to Doherty playing. That Christie was on to look after him a little bit. I can't understand that. If you pick a lad for an international match playing, he's played in the Premiership, he's played well. And it was difficult to understand. It looked like to me that, Martin O'Neill was justifying his position over Christie because he's played him ahead of a Doherty and has been quite critical of Doherty. So, I mean, when you think of the players on the bench, you had Myler on the pitch who was captain only last year and wasn't playing. So, Christie's a good-hearted lad and he did okay. Mm. But it's a wing and a prayer. When you put somebody, any player in, Nathan, whether it be full-back or goalkeeper, who hadn't played in, well, not goalkeeper because he's playing that position, or anybody else who didn't play in that position regularly or hadn't played in since he was 14, you couldn't possibly know what he's going to do. That's why you do preparation. That's why you have the players together during the week or you played them in a certain match and tried them out maybe. But it's very, very difficult to understand. And Martin does this quite a bit. He puts a player in and say, OK, off you go.
Yeah, bit of a curveball. And we spend a lot of time on Thursday evenings talking about midfield play and what makes a good midfielder, what makes a great midfielder. And for Cyrus Christie, with that inexperience, we saw time and time again when he received the ball, he just didn't seem to have the confidence in himself or maybe the ability to be able to turn and face the opposition and raise his head. His first inclination every time, it seemed, was almost to go backwards, to take the simple pass. Yeah. So when you look at somebody coming in from a totally different position on the field, playing there for the first time, how difficult a task is it? What are the basic skills when you watch Cyrus Christie of a midfielder that he was missing?
It's very difficult, Nathan, because he's been playing all his career, as I can see, as a fullback. Mm. Now, you know by now what his best position is. I mean, what you'll find is if lads can play very, very well in midfield and also play well in midfield, they're much more valuable playing in midfield. So, Christie, that is definitely his position where he goes. And also in the particular match the other day, Hendrick was playing much and has been playing much further forward than he normally plays as a midfield player. Hendrick has been lost. He was back in position, I think, for the match against Wales, and he played a lot better. But he was pushed up ahead of Christie. I don't know what sort of formation it was supposed to be, but that's not Hendrick's position either. I mean, all you can do as a manager, you go back to the basics. You've got a group of players, and you play them, the best players, in the best position.
Yeah.
That's usually the best tactic that you can do. Never mind 4-3-3 and 5-2, whatever formation you're talking about. Play your best players in your best position. And if Doherty deserved to be in the team ahead of Christie, that doesn't mean Christie has to be in the team. I mean, you've got Hendrick, there's a couple of midfield players that could play, I would say, would had proven to be playing better than Christie in midfield because nobody knew how Christie was going to play.
Yeah.
Now, Christie is a good-hearted lad. There's no doubt about that.
I didn't do much wrong over the two games either.
But that's, he's a fullback. His best position is fullback.
Yeah, you'd wonder what it does for the confidence as well of some of those midfielders, like David Myler, who must be wondering what's got on, considering he was pretty much man of the match in Cardiff in the win a year ago, and has, since he was taken off at half-time against Denmark, has barely seen any time on the pitch at all, and you see a right-back coming in to take her place.
Yeah. Well, it looks like in Myler's case, I'd be thinking, I think I'm being blamed here for the first half against Wales last year, because he was captain, as you say, and he played a lot of good matches before that. Well, he played really well. He played in. He played at right back at one stage, and he was a good all round player.
Yeah.
So, to be honest, I don't know what he'd be thinking at the moment, Nathan.
Do you just trust though the way that Martin O'Neill talks about his players, that he understands the dressing room, that by almost giving them a kick up the ass at times, that maybe he feels that's the method of motivation that works, then rather than putting a hand around their shoulders, or does it seem a little bit unusual?
Well, it can take all sorts of different things, Nathan. But in my experience, the best way you do that is in the privacy of the dressing room. And nobody knows about it. You know, you can give a player a telling off when it's between you and the manager. And that's it. I mean, the manager's giving it to you there and then. It's between you and him. And he wants to get the best out of you. But I've never seen the manager get the best out of a player by doing it in a public way. Never. Never seen it. I mean, I've seen dressing room telling offs. I've had them.
Yeah.
But nobody knows anything about them. But, I mean, to get to the point, does it help? I don't think it helps. Done privately, you can get the biggest telling off you can get. And it's really, really, can be really hurtful. But publicly, you don't have to do it publicly, Nathan. Definitely not.
The lack of goals is becoming a greater and greater issue. And you look back over the last 18 months, Ireland have played Denmark twice at the Aviva Stadium. They've welcomed Wales to Dublin twice. They've played Serbia. They've played Austria. Those six games against pretty decent quality opposition, they've scored two goals. Now, the obvious answer, and Martin O'Neill bring this up, is that Robbie Keane and his 68 international goals aren't there anymore. Is it up to Martin O'Neill, though? Is it his job to find another way? Because at the moment, it seems he's just looking at Shane Long and Aidan O'Brien and Seanan McGuire and Scott Hogan and saying, well, these guys aren't up to it, so what else can you expect?
Well, I think there's a way to approach it. I mean, what Martin is saying publicly is, or what I get the feeling is, we're doing everything well apart from scoring goals. Well, I don't think that's the case. I don't think we're doing everything well apart from scoring goals. Of course, you need goal scorers, but it doesn't mean you have to concede goals as well. You know, because I've seen plenty of teams who didn't have good goal scorers, but they don't concede goals. So there's different elements of the team. You've got the defenders, you've got the goalkeeper, defenders, you've got midfield players. You know, they all help to create goals. I don't think we've been creating a lot of goals. So players could say, oh, God, if Robbie Keane, he would have taken that particular chance. You know, that only lads up front, the new lads coming in. Like Robinson was good. I thought there was plenty of life about him the other day in the second match. But I don't think you could look at any of these players that have come in and say, oh, he missed two or three chances in a match, or he missed two or three chances. I mean, against Denmark the other night, I don't know if we created one chance for anybody to miss.
No, it's hard to remember any real
one,
moment
even
of
one
notes.
Name where you could say, well, if Robbie Keane had been there, he would score. I think what Martin is saying, he's making general statements. We don't have a Robbie Keane, so therefore we're not scoring goals. But what about midfield? Midfield are not playing well to make the goals.
Well, that was the point I wanted to ask you on. So you talked there about looking at teams down through the years who didn't have a great goal scorer, but still managed to score goals. So what are they doing that we're not doing?
Just a second. What about the World Cup? Giroud didn't score a goal in the World Cup. But they played well and other players scored goals. So that would be the perfect example. In a World Cup and the centre-forward gets a winner's medal, deservedly so from Giroud's point of view, but he didn't score. So you can have all-round players that can come in and score. We haven't been missing chances. This is the point that I make all the time, that you couldn't say, well, if Robbie Keane was there, he would have scored that.
There's quite a few more bits and pieces I want to get to over the couple of games, John. It sounds as though everything you're talking about, though, almost comes down to organisation, because you mentioned the lack of chances against Denmark. The one sort of half chance that Ireland had was that shot from 20 yards out from Cyrus Christie that was well saved by Schmeichel. And that came from the one time, I think, in the entire game where Shane Long won the header and actually knocked it down to one of his teammates who was standing only 7-8 yards behind and was flicked out quickly to the wing. And even that long ball game that you might associate with Quinn and Keane, that felt like it was something that was worked on a lot, that there was an understanding between Quinn and Keane. Yeah. They knew where they were. Where that just doesn't seem to be there.
That was a long ball game, but it was constructive long ball. See, there's a difference between knocking Shane Long now on his own up the pitch with little chance of getting ahead. And even if he did get on ahead on it, Nathan, there's nobody there to support him and he can't do anything about it. Whereas when Quinn played with Keane, these were long balls, but they were constructive balls to Quinn's head, knocked on to Keane. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a difference between a long ball game where it's constructive and, yeah, and you're doing something right, rather than hitting long balls out of defence, where the centre forward in long case with Ireland, no chance of doing anything. That's where you need the players, to combine from the midfield to make it for the lads up front, make it easier. But a long ball game can be very effective if it's a constructive long ball, Nathan. But if it's just knocked out from the back, then it's plain Sean Long has no chance. Yeah. The main thing as well, Nathan, is picking the right players in the right position. You know, you talk about tactics, long ball, short ball, whatever it might be, but basically you're going back to playing your best players in your best position. And it goes back to Hendrick, in, for example, playing forward where he normally plays, Christie playing in midfield where he's not really a midfield player, all that type of thing. You have to start with the basic thing is pick your best players in the best position and then you go and play. And you play in a constructive manner. And you get up the pitch together, you get down the pitch together, back the pitch together. That's the way it works. I know I'm getting a little bit technical here. I don't mean to be. But that's the way it works in football. You have to go back to the basics. Best players in the best position. Encourage them to play. I mean, the other day, if you go, I'd say Christie was out of position. Hendrick was definitely out of position in the middle of the field. And Robinson, when he came on to help Long, was a big help.
All right, John, we're going to take a very quick break, but I want to get your thoughts on the goal and the manner in which we conceded the goal, and also Martin O'Neill's future, whether he should stay or whether he should go. But we'll get into all of that right after these.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
You're welcome back. John Giles is still on the line. John, I want to talk about the goal that Ireland conceded on Tuesday night. From Harry Arter's pretty reckless foul to Darren Randolph taking that unnecessary sidestep to his left, and particularly the way the wall for the free kick fell apart. Is that somewhat symbiotic of the wider disorganisation that seems to be there around the team?
Well, it certainly wasn't well organised for the goal, the free kick, Nathan, because Martin did actually was very critical of Arthur afterwards. He said, "I told all the players not to do a silly free kick around the edge of the box, to be very, very careful," which is the right instructions. And Arthur's tackle was bad, but you don't have to concede the goal from it. There was a lot happened after the free kick was given, and that takes the wall, bring the wall into it. Because Robinson was in the end of the wall, and if anybody's ever watching it again, what you do in the wall, the wall stays where it is until the free kick has been taken. In other words, that's there to block a shot. That's only common sense. It's there to block a shot, and the keeper lines them up on one side so as he can protect the other side of the goal. In Robinson's case, as Wilson was running up to take the goal, he broke from the wall towards the ball as if he was knocking, sort of breaking it down. But actually, when you look at it now, the ball actually went over this position that Robinson's head would have been in if he stayed where he was. But the first thing you do when you're organising a free kick like that, you make sure that the wall doesn't break. The wall is the wall to stop a direct shot from the free kick. If and when the wall breaks, like Robinson did, you don't have a wall anymore. And that's how Randolph was caught out, because he's protecting the other side of the goal and he's taken two steps to the left. And the ball goes over the position that Robinson's head would have stopped it.
Yeah, but
so Randolph has no chance in it, Nathan, to be honest.
Can the management team be blamed for that? For Robinson not holding his position?
Oh, yeah, that's organisation. During the week, when you get together and you're doing exercises in defensive walls, that's what you do. And this is what my take on it, and it's what I always tried to do, was that's the wall. You do not break. You're there to block that direct shot. You don't break. If you break, there's no wall anymore. So you stay where you are, and you make yourself as big as you can, and you see the lads jumping sometimes when they're going to kick it. In Robinson's case, he broke from the wall. He was 2 yards from the wall when the ball went over his head. But if you ever look at the video again, the ball actually goes over the position that Robinson's head would have been in. But that's organisation. You make sure that doesn't break. It's like short corner kicks, Nathan, that we've conceded quite a few. Mm. You never, ever let the opposition take a short corner kick against you. You take advantage. Let's put it this way. When you, with your team, you take every advantage you can. If they go asleep, you take advantage of it. But you never go to sleep. So it changes games. We've lost goals from short corner kicks. One in Scotland, a very important one. Actually, yeah. The first goal against Denmark last year was a short corner kick. That should never happen, ever, from day one. So it means if it happened once and happened again, it hasn't been put right. And that's all part of organisation.
When you look at the last 20 minutes of the game then, and Ireland threw the kitchen sink at Wales, they brought on Seanie Maguire, Scott Hogan, ended up almost with a 2-4-4 formation with Shane Duffy playing as a striker as well.
Yeah.
Is that a needs must? Martin O'Neill is desperate to get back into this game to keep our hopes of avoiding relegation, of improving seedings alive, yeah. Or is that the sort of last panicked movements of a man who really doesn't know what's going on?
Well, I think Martin does that anyway. Now, it wouldn't be my way of doing it, Nathan, because I think I always believe that what's the right thing in the first 10 minutes is the right thing in the last 10 minutes. You keep doing what you consider to be right. I don't believe in the big centre-half going up there. Like, if you go back, I'll just go off a little bit. We go back to Fergie time, when Manchester United scored more late goals than anybody else. Mm. And the reason they did that, not because they put a big centre-half up there, they kept playing. They were patient. They did the right things. Now, in the match the other night, of course we're looking for goals, but there's a way of doing it. And, like, Wales, the other night, actually could have scored another 3 goals.
Yeah.
When we were pressing up the field. I think that's desperation stuff. And the point, I think, there is you keep your head. It's a difficult thing to keep your head and do the right things. But if you look at Manchester United and all the great teams, they did that because they kept their discipline, they kept doing the right things. I don't believe it's throw them up there and throw the ball in there. I just don't believe it. I don't think it works, and I think we could have conceded another 2 goals. You keep doing the right things all the time and keep your head. Okay, you can make the substitutions. No problem with that, Nathan. But play them in the positions that the lads have come off, or maybe put an extra centre-forward there, but not throwing everything in there and throwing the big centre-half up there. Wales with the breaks the other day, it could have finished up 4-1.
Yeah, I guess.
And we didn't actually create a chance, did we?
No.
From the players chucking it in there.
Yeah.
Not really.
People, I guess, misremember Fergie time, and as the years have gone on, think it's just throwing as many men forward as possible, and forget that actually Manchester United rarely, if ever, conceded a goal.
Never.
When they were pushing men forward at the end of the game.
You had Scholes, you had Keane, you had these guys. Keep playing it, keep playing it. That didn't happen by accident. That was the manager insisting. And these were young players coming into the team at Manchester United. But Fergie always, keep playing, push it out, keep in your positions, keep playing. If it's the right thing in the first minute, it's the right thing in the last minute. And that paid. I'm only mentioning him because he was the master of it, for keeping the distance. It's very difficult to see players, naturally, when they go a goal down near the end, want to chase forward in silly positions. And players play in silly positions. Oh, we need a goal.
I'll be
the hero. Of course you need a goal.
Yeah.
But the best way to do it is to keep your head, keep playing, keep doing the right things. If it's the right thing to do, it's the right thing to do at any stage in the match. And throwing the big centre-half up, it works now and again, but most times it doesn't. You're more likely to concede a goal.
We've had almost a year now of pretty intense speculation about Martin O'Neill's future, and it's only intensified yet again. But he was quite bullish after the game. There were some really interesting quotes in this morning's newspapers in a piece that was off mic, where he basically said, when he was asked about qualification, which is, listen, there's still a hell of a long way to go with the way the Euro 2020 qualifiers are set up, he said, "I will win. Why? Because I'm good."
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
Well, I was always told when I was a kid, self-praise is no recommendation, Nathan. You know, Martin has to do the job. Okay, he's in a difficult position. He might turn around. I don't think it's right to be bullish in this particular situation. Actually, what he's saying was, well, look, it doesn't matter whether we're in, third seed or fourth seed. We've done it before than that. But the idea of this competition, our big team, is actually to go up the seeding.
Yeah.
I think it's a big advantage. Obviously, that's what we've always tried to do over the years, to win the matches, win the friendly matches, so you're seeded and make the draw a little bit on paper a little bit easier for yourselves. But Martin is dismissing that now. As if, well, I don't care, like where we're seeded, we still have the job to do, which is a positive approach in many ways. I wouldn't say it was realistic, but it's positive, if you want to be positive.
So from the 1-0 win in Wales last year, Ireland have only won one game since then, a friendly against the USA. When you look at it now, do you think O'Neill and Keane should be given the opportunity to lead Ireland into the qualifiers, the proper qualifiers, when they start in March? Or does it feel as though the air has gone out of the balloon, that we just need a change, that we need something to reinvigorate Irish football?
I think it needs to be reinvigorated, Nathan, but I'm not so sure it would be the most... I'm not sure it would be the best thing to do to change the management team at this particular time.
Why?
It's difficult to know. Are they going to pick it up? Do they know it better than anybody else? Are they going to win a few matches? It can happen. And then you say, no, okay, we'll get Joe Bloggs in. Now you're taking a gamble as well, you know?
Mm.
I think it's probably the right thing time to make the change was immediately after the last qualifiers, and give the new manager a real chance through these competitions and that, to build a team to go to the next stage.
Yeah,
I think the present manager team, they don't have the confidence of the people now. They're in a very, very, very difficult position, I think.
Yeah, so you don't think that there's a quick fix, that actually there's a manager out there who can come in and get another 25-30% out of these players?
There's a lot to be said for that as well. Now I'm sort of hedging me bets here a little bit.
Come on, John, get off the fence.
there's a lot to be said for that as well, Nathan. Now, you know, to be quite honest, picking a new manager and deciding what's the best thing to do, I would hate for my life to be on the line making those particular decisions. Certainly, now Martin is bullish now at the moment, but you know, the time to be bullish is the last few weeks when we've been actually playing well. So there's not much credit in the bank, let's put it that way, Nathan. But I'm not so sure whether it would be correct at this particular stage to make a change or not.
Fair enough.
I wouldn't be sure. I'd probably go on the side of making a change.
All right, you actually think, when you think about it then, that maybe the better option now slightly is that we do make a change in management. We're going to wrap it up. We do have a comment in on Facebook, John, saying, dust the boots off, John. We could do with a player like you again. Would you fancy it if you were there, late 20s? Do you think you could make a real impact on a team like this? Or is it just with that management team, with the setup, with finding out a team an hour beforehand, would it be more hassle than it's worth?
Well, it's difficult. It's difficult to know, Nathan. I don't know. Let's put it this way. I'd love to have the opportunity.
Wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all? John, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Nathan.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.